Welcome to the Fat Fueled Family Podcast, where every week we talk about things like nutrition, training,
how to live a healthy and active lifestyle with your little ones, peaceful parenting, education,
and of course, mindset.
Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Keto Counterculture, at Fat Fueled Mom, and at Fat Fueled Kids, and search for Fat Fueled Family on YouTube.
To stay up to date with everything we're doing, sign up with your email at www.fatfuel.family and check out our blog for workouts, meal ideas, and all the other cool stuff we love to talk about.
Don't forget to hit subscribe.
All right, welcome to the Fat Fueled Family Podcast. My name is Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, who I have a bone to pick with today.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to ask you something. When have we ever bought single-ply toilet paper?
Well, I didn't buy that. So I'll let you take a wild guess who bought that for me.
Oh, my goodness. I was out of town last weekend, and I come back, and there's some single-ply toilet paper.
Can you guess who bought it for us?
Your mother, who was in town.
Yes.
Okay.
Because she had gone out to Sprouts, and I was like, I need toilet paper. And that's what she brought me.
My goodness. That's terrible.
They're obsessed with it.
They love single ply.
They love single ply. Yeah.
That's not the type of life I want to live.
I don't hate it, but
that's just weird. Anyways,
he didn't tell me about this question. But
yeah, no, I definitely did not tell her. I swear, I was like thinking about this because it's already been a few times.
That's really funny.
All right, so we have a special guest today that I found out about from the High Intensity Health podcast. I saw her there and I was like, oh my goodness, this is great. This is just fantastic. What a great resource to teach parents and kids about probiotics and gut health. So her name is Sarah Morgan and she's the Gene Queen, and she's known for her innovative ideas that connect science to everyday life in a way that impacts thousands. Albert Einstein's quote, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough, has inspired Sarah to write and communicate a way that a 4-year-old or a 40-year-old will understand. She's the founder of Buddies in My Belly, a health education company delivering serious science for serious health in a way that is seriously fun for everyone. She's got Buddies in My Belly, which we bought pretty much immediately after we saw that, and we read it to the boys. And she's got probiotics, and she's got even some plush toys that we got for the kids with all the different types of gut bacteria. Welcome to the show, Sarah Morgan. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, we're happy to have you. This is such a great resource. For us, education for kids, when it comes to nutrition, we think that's such a huge part of it because, you know, a lot of the times parents want to know, you know, what do I feed my kids and for us, it's actually more important to talk to the children. And, you know, when my son asks me, should I eat this or should I eat that? We make sure that they understand that it's their body and they can eat what they want to eat, you know, but the education is so important.
Yeah, I love that. What a great summary. I'm right on board with you.
All right, so why don't you ask the first question?
Okay, well, we'll lead off with our famous leading question. What is the most critical problem that you are currently trying to solve?
Oh, I love that question. You know, the most critical problem that I'm trying to solve is we need to ensure that our children, who are our future, are healthy. And, you know, if we look at the amount of money we're spending on sickness, you know, we think of healthcare expenses, which it's really not healthcare, it's sick care. Mm-hmm. You know, our number one threat in terms of national defense in the United States, because it could literally bankrupt our country if we don't change things. And, you know, we've really got to start with kiddos because they are our future. And, you know, the stats, if we look at childhood in America today, we really do have a big problem to solve. And I'd love to just share some statistics if you guys are cool with that.
We need people to know how serious the problem is.
We shared a few in our initial podcast because that's something where we're very passionate.
People have to understand the problem.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
They really do. And you know, it's become almost like, hey, this is normal. So let's look at what the statistics are telling us today. 1 in 3 children are overweight, and we know that just being overweight predisposes you to about 40 different chronic illnesses that can happen over time. 1 in 6 children have learning disabilities. 1 in 9 have asthma. 1 in 10 ADHD. 1 in 12 food allergies. 1 in 20 seizures. And now 1 in 36 have autism. So right now, if we think about this, half of the children in America have a chronic illness or overweight. And it's estimated that by 2025, which you guys is only 6 years away, that 80% of children will have a chronic illness that impacts the rest of their life.
80%. And
wow. 80%, you know, and it's like, it's the, this new reality that almost is like, you know, as I read all that, it's like, how many of us listening know somebody who has asthma, a child, somebody who, you know, in their kid's classroom, there's a food allergy, or like, oh my gosh, yeah, I know somebody in my kid's grade that has a seizure disorder, and that's very debilitating, or learning disabilities. You know, we look at how much funding is going to helping these children in our school districts. And, you know, there's just so much we need to do about it and so much we can do about it. So I just, you know, I look at this and I'm like, with my background, I have a master's degree in nutrition. I like to think big. I like to make the impossible possible. And it's like, you know what? One, I'm not willing to accept this as our new reality. And two, we can fix it. And we can make it fun. And that's the thing that I think is really missing that I've seen in my field. You know, I've been in this space for about 13 years now. It's like, we have a lot of really cool information, but it's kind of like, I'm bored, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah, how do we translate that, like, you know, to our children? And something that I've really seen, like, you know, I think there's typically one person in a family unit that tends to be really passionate about health, right? If they are, and they're listening to podcasts and they're researching and, you know, they're doing all this stuff. But then when it goes to integrating it into the family structure, it's kind of like, typically it's a mom, not to knock on the dads.
Oh, we've said that a million times. Yeah. I totally agree with you. I will take credit for men. They're usually, especially because, you know, people think it's because maybe the woman wants to lose weight, or, and that could very well be a reason why, but they're just more involved, and they're, you always see the wives are the one, like, even when we were paleo back in the day, they, Maura would say, hey, we should get rid of these, you know, these deodorants and these cleaning products. And back then when I didn't really care about it, I was like, ah, whatever, who cares? And now, you know, it's funny.
Came that, around.
Yeah. You kind of have to, you have like, to educate the men. I see that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's like, so there's one person, right? And it tends to be kind of this lonely journey. And as moms, just speaking to them, it's like, and dads, we really want the best for our kids. Like, we want to feed them good food. We want them to be healthy, but it's exhausting. And it can sometimes feel like you're just nagging, right? Like, yep. Do this, exactly. Do this. And my whole thing is like, I want to engage the whole family and to make health fun for everyone. And like, what a ripple effect that has, right? And like, what a world that could be if we imagine that. So for me, it was, my inspiration was my daughter, you know, and at the time, when I had this idea kind of brewing inside of me, she was about 2.5. And I remember like looking at her just saying, okay, what would it be like if she could not only understand these important concepts about her health, but she could actually actively participate in her health? And it's like, that's when we win. And that's when we really start to change things. So, you know, my passion is, I really want to create the Sesame Street of health. It's like, you know, we think about Sesame Street, right? It's like, there were celebrities on Sesame Street. There were adults. It was for children and educating them and interactive. And it's something like even families could talk about together. And that's how we're really going to change health in America and really worldwide, because the problem is spreading. And in one generation, we can fix it.
You know, I love that you talk about that, because one of the things that you said, I think on Mike's, when you were with Mike, was how the parents are going to be learning so much because the parents don't know. And so, you know, I think it's my wife, you know, we're unschoolers, and she has a ton of fun when she's doing stuff with Desmond. Like, for instance, she didn't like history the way I liked history. So when she's doing history stuff, she's learning about history. And so the fact that you make this so accessible for kids, it really makes it this kind of just easy environment and non-threatening environment for the parents to learn as well. And they don't even know it, that they're learning. I love it.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, and that's another thing I saw is like there another problem that exists today in our world is we have all this like scientific language and all this information, and then we have this huge gap between that information and the everyday person. And, you know, if we look at like human psychology, we're really afraid of what we don't understand as humans, right? Like if we don't understand it, we kind of have this instinct to run from it. Like, oh my gosh, this is terrifying. You know, it's intimidating. So that was my desire. It's like, I want to connect science to everyday life in the way that a 4-year-old or a 40-year-old can understand it. And Buddies does that. It's fun. You know, I have all these adults who are like, Sarah, I get it. Like, I actually learned a lot reading the book to my kid.
I love that. We're also being, and the beautiful thing is, I mean, the reason why it needs to be a Sesame Street type of deal where it's that mass appeal is because we are being inundated with a ton of stuff that's, you know, false, and, you know, it all depends. There's lots of money behind it. So, you know, special interests kind of dictate, you know, what the message is. And so a lot of people are getting bad information. So
yeah, doing it's like it, you can't even blame the parents because that's how we were, quote unquote, educated on nutrition. You know, like everything I knew was a lie, pretty much. You know, even now the new Eat Lancet report, and it said corn, wheat, and soy as like the majority of my diet. I was just like, I live in the twilight zone. I live in the actual twilight. It's like insane. It's crazy. So yeah, we definitely have work to do, but it can be done. And it does start with our kids. You're right.
It does. And, you know, it's one of those things like health and nutrition really is confusing to the average person. And so we really tried to, our challenge, even writing the book and our messaging with Buddies, is what we don't include to keep the message so simple that it gives us, all of us, handles we can grab onto. It's sticky. So when you walk away from the book, it's like, oh yeah, the Buddies. Oh yeah, the Buddies are these, you know, health promoting bacteria that live in my digestive tract that regulate most of my human health. And I need to take care of my Buddies, because if I take care of them, they'll take care of me. And it's like, hey, anybody can remember that.
100%. I love that. I love that so much. And just simplifying the terms. Mm-hmm. Can you, well, now that's a perfect segue talking about the Buddies. I love that whole thing too. Just how you wrote the book, and it was a hit with our kids. They really
awesome.
But can you give us, let's talk now a little bit about how the Buddies, how they can impact our health positively and negatively.
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. So, you know, the first thing I'd start off with is we really need to have a major paradigm shift in our world as it relates to the topic of bacteria. And, you know, if we look back in history, in the 20th century, we kind of had this idea of like humans versus the bacteria or the microbes or the bad germs. And we wanted, you know, bacteria was bad and we want to get it out of the body. So this was a time of like typhoid fever and tuberculosis, influenza, polio. This is when like antibiotics and vaccines were developed, you know, and to give some credit to this point of history, this is when penicillin was developed, right? And it saved so many lives, specifically in World War II. So, you know, we want to validate our history and, you know, look at that. And there's really good things that have happened. But for so long, we've been taught this idea that, you know, we've got an ID, a culprit, right? Like there's something, when something goes wrong in the body, we want to blame it on one thing. And, you know, in this era, it was kind of like the bad germ. But what we didn't understand was things like antibiotics actually have deadly consequences for our probiotic Buddies or these good bacteria. And we didn't even know that we had a microbiome, which, you know, just to define that term, if you hear that for the first time, it's just this 2 to 4 pounds of who you are that are not you, but they're bacteria that live in your digestive tract mostly. We have Buddies all over us, but a lot of them exist in our digestive tract. And they really are, you know, a crucial aspect of our body. They really work like an organ. So, you know, today, if we look at what's happening with humans, we face these really complex system-based illnesses, and they're called non-communicable disease. So it's things like allergies and asthma and autism and celiac disease, heart disease, obesity, depression, anxiety, diabetes. We can go on and on, autoimmune, thyroid conditions. And now these systems-based illnesses are actually taking the lives of almost 70% of the population. Whereas infectious disease is only taking the lives of maybe 20% if we look at the population globally. So there's been this really big shift, right, of what's happening, what's the problem. So now here we are in 21st century, okay, and the reality is we're actually more bacterial than humans. Than human, right? Like
we're like this huge colony, right?
Yeah, we're a colony.
Yeah. So, you know, I love genes. I'm the gene queen. I can geek out on genetics forever and ever. And I find it fascinating. As humans, we're maybe, you know, we have like 20 to 25,000 genes. Well, the buddies have about 10 million genes. Wow. And this is something we're currently studying, that they actually play a huge role in our human gene expression. So, you know, just to give a little bit of a shift of now we're realizing, wow, everything we do, the medications we use, the food we eat, you know, the environment we live in, if we're going to be healthy as human beings, we actually have to think about taking care of this microbiome. Because if we don't have it, if it's wiped out, if it's not healthy, the reality, and this is based on a lot of really good research, is you will not be a healthy human being without your buddies. So what are some of the things the buddies do? Do you guys want me to kind of give some examples of that? Would that be
helpful?
Absolutely.
Yes. I wanted to add one thing, because people are aware of this, but when you talk about a lot of these diseases, the reason why what you do is so important is because when you feed the buddies the right way, they don't have them anymore. Like we had he had pretty much asthma. 6 months out of the year, he had to use an emergency, you know, inhaler.
Albuterol and then a daily inhaler plus Zyrtec.
And my youngest had eczema. And this is what happens when you fix the buddies, they're strong, all that stuff goes away. So yeah, I wanted to just connect that.
I don't even know where the inhaler is.
Amazing. Like it is. And think about how many children are literally debilitated by asthma in our country, right? Like they can't play sports. They can't go outside during allergy season. I mean, it's a really big problem. And, you know, people who have never experienced asthma or how severe it can be are like, oh, you have a heart, you wheeze a little bit. It's like, no,
it's terrible.
This can take kids' lives, you know, if it's bad enough. So what do the buddies do? How do they impact our health? One, they impact everything. Okay. So we'll start there, like you guys are saying. But one of the cool things I want to point out is these probiotic buddies are literally a free vitamin shop in our belly. And I just think that's so cool. So the buddies actually make a lot of vitamins for us. So they make B vitamins. You know, a lot of people have probably heard about B vitamins, like B12, for example, or folate, which is vitamin B9. Well, what's super cool is our good bacteria, the buddies, will make those for us. So we can get them from our diet. But if you've got a lot of good buddies set up in your belly, you're just going to naturally make some of those things on your own, which is really cool. And another example of that is vitamin K. Now, a lot of people know about vitamin K shots. Some people, you know, opt for like oral vitamin K dosing for their baby when they're born. But this is a really great example of what's happening here, because vitamin K is used for blood clotting. And when a baby's first born, their buddies are not established. They have these tiny little baby buddies that are just starting to develop, and they're not making vitamin K yet. So they need this external source of vitamin K as a newborn in case there is any trauma, you know, while the baby's being delivered. They don't want the baby to bleed out or hemorrhage from lack of vitamin K. So super cool, right? Like, you can have your, like, talk about cutting out some of your supplement needs, right?
That is amazing.
Have your buddies and they're your free vitamin shop. Another thing that's really important is the immune system. Okay. And what I like to say is the immune system is kind of like our military system of the body. And, you know, it's really regulating things that are, you know, us versus the foreigners that we don't want to invade our body and kind of take over and cause damage. And there's a lot of different, you know, aspects of the military system of our immune system. Something that's really neat, just to go into children, which I think is really cool to touch on, is when children are born, they get their first gulps of their probiotic buddies from their mom in the vaginal canal while they're being delivered. If you're a C-section baby, you don't get that same delivery, those same gulps. So C-section babies, their first buddies, quote unquote, that they have are actually more from the skin. It is a fashion statement, the new fashion statement for us to wear our buddies. but these babies, because they're pulled through, you know, they get contact with the skin, they get those buddies that are first colonized or, you know, take up their home in the digestive tract, as well as unfortunately, more bad germs than the good buddies that are present in like an OR room in the hospital. So we see a really big difference there. But what's so interesting is those first buddies, those probiotic buddies, are literally teaching the immune system how to act. And what I like to say is they're teaching the immune system manners. So we have these immune cells called macrophages, and they exist in all of our tissues of the body. And the buddies kind of come and like hug these macrophages and they're like, hey, you're loved. It's all about love.
Don't attack too much. Don't be
too mean. Like, here's how you're supposed to act. Use your manners. Say please and thank you. Yeah. Don't, you know, get angry in these situations. And that's really important because these macrophages are, you know, they're in our lungs, they're in our nasal passages, they're in these different areas that we see, like, okay, we just talked about asthma. If you have too much of an immune system response to an allergen, guess what happens to your airways when they're overreactive? Mm-hmm. And guess who's telling those immune cells how to act? Your buddies that live in your belly. And that starts from a young age. And that's also why we see this like inflammatory cascade happen, where these kids develop, maybe they have, you mentioned the eczema, you know, stuff with skin, right? When babies are really young. And then we start to see it progress to, you know, asthma, allergies, food allergies. And then we can have, you know, all of these other things, even with autoimmunity, develop over time. And it's kind of this snowball, right? When things get tipped out of balance too early. And so the inflammatory balance, it's like a teeter-totter. And we want that immune system to be able to balance. And the buddies play a huge role in that. The buddies also make, they're making all kinds of really cool stuff. And one of the things they make is lactic acid. And lactic acid, they kind of shoot out in the digestive tract, and that keeps the bad germs from being able to colonize or make their home in your belly. So, you know, even with kids, a lot of kids, you know, one of the big things that can be challenging is kids who get really bad, you know, like diarrhea, which can dehydrate them, and, you know, severe dehydration in children, they can go into shock from that because their bodies are a little bit different than adults.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we know probiotics and a good microbiome can actually prevent that from happening in young children, which is incredible.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. It's so, you reminded me of something with the C-section babies and, you know, that bacteria that they need traveling through the birth canal. We have someone we know, a lot of people probably know her. She's mentioned it on her podcast, a dietitian friend. She had to have a C-section and she was not about to let her daughter miss out on that. So she actually, I don't remember how exactly she did it, but she did take
mucus from her
vaginal, you know, canal, yeah, and put it on her daughter's face upon birth to get her those initial, you know, buddies, basically.
Right.
And so,
it's like a $2 intervention that, you guys know, that's actually standard of care in Europe.
Wow, that's awesome.
Section baby, they swab the mother's vaginal canal, just a little sponge, and then they put it on the baby's mouth, nose, ears, so they get all those good buddies when they're born. It's like, I was actually talking to a neonatologist here, and I'm like, why don't we do that? And she's like, well, the mothers can, you know, request it here. But I'm like, well, if they don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah, geez.
Well, hopefully now any pregnant mother.
Yeah, if you don't plan on having a C-section, right, and it happens.
If you have to have a C-section right now, you know, there's You can request to have that done.
And C-sections save lives, right? Like there's no guilt.
Of course.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, mamas feel bad about that. And it's like, hey, healthy baby, healthy mom at delivery is the goal. And then now, you know, a C-section baby to me is like, should you put them on probiotics? Like swab them for sure. And then put them on probiotics day one. I would say 100% yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that actually, like really quickly before we move to our next question, I tell Danny this all the time. Like I blame it for a lot of things with my youngest son, but when he was born, although he was, I did have a vaginal delivery and I did exclusively breastfeed him
for 2.5 years
and skin to skin contact. He was born in a hospital and he did spike a bit of a fever within 24 hours. And you know, they don't mess around with that. So he was pumped with antibiotics literally within 24 hours of being born for 3 to 4 days. And so I always think of, man, what did that do to that gut, you know, like those initial
development
bacteria buddies in his gut, you know, like what can something like that do? Does that like change?
So antibiotics,
how they act?
Yeah. Antibiotics. Now we have some information about them. And first, before I even say this, I do want to say antibiotics save lives.
Oh, absolutely. If my child needed it, I would go ahead.
Yeah. Exactly. So in a situation like that, you need to use them. You know, I'm a big fan, even with like strep throat.
Oh yeah.
You don't want to like, that's Streppy's evil twin. Like you don't want to let her reign in the potty. Like there's a lot of bad stuff that can happen. But what we now know is antibiotics, it's kind of like a nuclear bomb going off in the gut, and the buddies are like the collateral damage, right? They just get wiped out too. What's really cool is they're in the process of trying to develop new antibiotics that are really targeting only the bad germs, and they don't hit the buddies. So that's super cool when those come out.
That would be awesome.
They're in, you know, research and development right now. But you know, the other thing is it does take about a year to reestablish your microbiome, these buddies, after you've been on a course of antibiotics. I mean, that's significant. So yeah, we want to do things to, you know, if these kiddos are getting them when they're younger and, you know, maybe it's not at the hospital, but it's like, oh, they've had ear infections, they've had rounds of antibiotics, and they've had, you know, like the mom is a group B carrier, so that she has to have antibiotics at delivery, which, you know, that impacts the baby as well. We just want to make sure we're proactive, right, about taking some of those steps, because we can shift it. And here's the beautiful thing is you can have a buddy's makeover if you're 1 year old, if you're 1 day old, if you're 40, if you're 80, right? Like there's always hope, and you can always be shifting these little guys that live in your digestive tract.
That is so,
awesome.
That is really good to know.
And it is good to know. And I hope people are listening, because I do think that there's absolutely, like, thank God for modern medicine and for antibiotics, there is a place for them. But I do find that they are overprescribed quite a bit. I used to work in the pharmacy and people would come in with antibiotics for like a cold, you know, or a viral.
Yeah, and that's that paradigm shift, right? Mm-hmm. We have to start teaching people that, like, hey, they're actually your biggest health allies. They're your best friends for life. And so we got to think about, like, hey, if you take antibiotics, it blows up the buddies. Like, you only want to do that if you really, really need it. It's still something that we, you know, we got to write a whole book on that, like buddies and antibiotics or something about, like, hey, this is when you should do it, and here's when maybe you should wait it out a little bit longer and get tested, because if it's a virus, it doesn't do anything for viruses.
Right.
And, you know, the population still doesn't understand that. So we have to kind of, you know, make the message like fun and sticky again that way.
Yeah.
100%. So, all right, we kind of have an idea of what the buddies do. So, you know, and how important they are. But what are a few things that families can do to take care of the buddies and to, like, help them grow and get stronger?
Yeah, I love that. So we touched on a couple. There's like a ton more, from like digestive health, brain, your heart health, actually skin, your weight. Just want to point that out. And like liver detox, the buddies help get rid of garbage out of our systems that we're exposed to. So those are just a few more. But there's a lot of things families can do to take care of their buddies. And what I'd love to do is you know, just talk about five of those, if you guys are cool with that, if we go through.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So first one is a whole food diet. And so the idea here is we want to eat foods in the form that Mother Nature grew them. Okay, if they've been...
Preach.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's no longer food for the buddies. Now it's food for the bad germs. And there are bad germs, right? Like, that's why we wash our hands, which is a super fun thing to teach your kids. Like, do you know why you wash your hands? And they're like, what? And then, you know, if you tell them like, hey, it's because like you can actually pick up bad germs that are on your hands and then they stick them in your mouth and in your nose and ears. And then they get in your body and they start biting the buddies and you can get sick from it. It's like, oh,
that's such a great connection.
Yeah. And it's super fun. So, you know, a whole food diet is, it doesn't have to be complicated, right? And this is where like not making nutrition so confusing. But the biggest thing about eating a diet and eating in a way and in a rhythm that's good for your buddies is we want to eat 25 different plant species a week. Okay,
and that's somewhere I think in the book, right? You have kind of a checklist there. I know we're kind of going forward, but it reminded me of it.
Yeah, so we have a Buddies in My Belly food chart that's a tear off in the back of our book because for me, it's again, it's about education and then implementation. So this is a really cool way, like there's the days of the week and then there's the different food suggestions with the different colors of the rainbow, right? From red to yellow to orange to purple. And, you know, kids check off that when they're eating those different foods and that's how they're feeding their buddies. And we know from the Human Microbiome Project that the more diversity of all these different fibers, the more diversity of our microbiome and all these different types of probiotic buddies that will live in our digestive tract and regulate all these different systems that we're talking about. So we want different diversity. And fiber is a prebiotic, which means it's food for the buddies. You know, it's how they live and survive and, you know, thrive in our system. So, you know, the big thing is fiber, plant foods. We want lots of those. Really interesting. I have to tell you guys, there was a study, a guy who's done a lot of research with the microbiome. He had his son, under his permission, eat McDonald's for 10 days. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Say the name of the study. He was a really good eater. And they did microbiome testing. So they looked at the buddies and mapped them out before this. And then he only ate McDonald's for 10 days, and then they checked his buddies again. Well, guess what? The buddies were in the ER. They're in the ICU unit. He lost 40% of his buddies in 2 weeks.
Wow, that's unreal.
In the 10 days. Sorry, it was a week and a half.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah, and then after 2 weeks of going back on to his good diet, he still hadn't recovered all of his buddies.
Wow.
And what is, and this might be a little bit early because I know that this is such a like still a burgeoning subject, but you know, would they attribute it, is it the inflammation from the vegetable oils or the, what is it? Did they have anything that they could at least correlate to the sterilizing of the biome?
Yeah, great question. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. So, you know, one of the things that I touch on is stress is number five, right? Things that we can do for the buddies. So we're talking about whole food diet, eating that way. And then I'll just jump ahead to stress because stress can be, it's a common denominator in our modern world. And not only for adults, but kids, this is a big deal. Kids are under a lot of stress, Stress comes from our mind, it comes from our emotions, physical things, right? Like lack of sleep or an injury. But stress comes from food too. And this is where I'm going, Danny, is like high sugar, processed foods, you know, the things that they're low in fiber, right? And then they contain all these inflammatory compounds or even substances like, you know, pesticide residuals. And a lot of those oils that you're referring to are very toxic and inflammatory and they kind of kill off the buddies. So it's really like a double whammy of you're not feeding them their prebiotic fibers and then you're giving them all these things that hurt them and they kind of die off. And in the same time, they feed the bad germs, right? So it's always this like, almost like fight scene, you know, of who's going to be winning? And it's every day, like the buddies or the bad germs. And that's probably going to be one of our next books. Like, well, we're going to really like display that out a lot more for kids to really realize that. But things like, you know, Roundup, glyphosate.
Oh my goodness. Oh, glyphosate. Yeah. We have been, I don't know if you've followed our friend, Anthony J. He's wrote Estrogeneration. He's an epigenetist and he
was, really love that because she loves the genes.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you have followed him at all. He wrote Estrogeneration and he talks about glyphosate being one of the many, you know, xenoestrogens like atrazine and all of these Roundup that are just affecting us. And I think with, like you said, it's crazy that it's sterilizing the bad or the buddies. But then the worst part about it is that
it's actually sterilizing us for real.
Yeah, but then it's also sterilizing us for real.
Yeah, right, on many levels, like that analogy works, right?
Yeah, and then the fiber, there's no fiber. So we just had Dr. James D. Nicolantonio, and he talks about that, how even because, you know, we love meat. So we personally, like we're big meat eaters over here. Yeah. But talking about like I forget what they're called, but they're a type of kind of toxin that's coming from the type of meat that we eat. Is it PCBs or I don't know, but but if we don't have
iron, like the free iron,
well, free iron, ions, that was one of it. But if we don't have that fiber, we can't fight it off. The fiber just kind of helps us. It feeds the buddies to fight it off.
It does. Yeah. And they balance, you know, they're like the firefighters that come into the scene of inflammation. You know, it's like, oh, the house is on fire. You know, they can neutralize all that, which is super cool. But here's something really interesting about Roundup and it being in our food and residuals, you know, being found in a lot of our food is so Roundup specifically depletes our body of manganese, and manganese is a trace element. And what's super interesting is lactobacillus, and in the Buddies in My Belly book, it's Lacti. Lacti is one of our little buddy characters. But Lacti is really dependent upon manganese to be able to exist and thrive in our belly. And if we're deplete of manganese, guess who kind of dies off? Lacti. Yeah. And Lacti is really important for energy production, you know, putting us in a good mood. There's a lot of these brain chemicals that Lacti makes that helps send direct signals to our brain. So we're like ready to go and learn and have good memories. But also Lacti helps us digest our food, and the buddies make digestive enzymes. So we tolerate a very big diversity of food. And what are we seeing as a pattern? All these food allergies, food sensitivities, and it's because the buddies don't live in our belly and they're not able to make as much of these digestive enzymes and kind of mitigate the inflammation. So the immune system's like, ah, foreign invader, get it, get gluten, get whatever it is, get peanuts, get, you know, soy, all these things. And there's multiple reasons for it, but it really at a foundational level, it's like, man, if we destroy our bodies, we destroy our health.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and the buddies, I will tell you guys listening, because this is a dream of mine. I want to have a buddies farm.
I heard you say this and we're like, when that opens, call us in.
Yes, please come. You guys can be one of the first visitors, but we have buddies in the soil. And when we use Roundup, it kills the buddies in the soil. And the buddies are such an important part for our soil to stay healthy long-term. And that's something we have to, you know, educate our world about is the way we farm and even our spraying on our yards, that impacts. It's like, hey, you want your kids to dig in the dirt. That's a good way they get good exposure.
Oh, yeah.
But not if you're spraying Roundup in your yard. And I'm like, no, don't do that, right? So the other stress, just to point at that, is medication. And this can be over-the-counter or prescription. So things like antibiotics we touched on, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, even like ibuprofen. There's a recent study that came out that ibuprofen users are more likely to have problems with C. diff, which is one of the bad germs in the book. And C. diff,
that's like gives you that pancreatic pain, right?
Well, yeah, and it can, especially in elderly people or anybody immunocompromised, it's really severe diarrhea, but it can do a lot of bad things over time. And it's almost untreatable. Like, it's the only FDA-approved reason for, in the United States, for a fecal transplant.
Wow.
Yeah. So acid reflux meds, which, you know, all these little babies are being put on, antidepressants, steroids. You know, we think about kids who are on steroids if they have asthma. Those all, you know, hurt the buddies.
And topical, and, sorry to interrupt, but like is topical steroids also included? Yeah, right. Because I mean, that goes into your, you know, like hydrocortisone for the eczema.
Yeah, so it would. And more specifically, the topicals are going to impact the buddies on your skin. So, you know, we've got all these buddies that live on our skin and they're kind of providing this protective layer. So if we're using, you know, the steroids topically, and especially more longer term, right? Don't, if it's like one time or two times, the buddies can recover, right? They just kind of get punched and they'll, they're resilient. They can come back. But if we do it a long, you know, for a long period of time, then we can have some of those problems that pop up.
Hey everybody, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to let you guys know about a company we've been a fan of for over a year now. This is a really cool company because number one, they're convenient. They make some delicious products and they were also so cool when Dean had the accident. They said that's a great care package. The boys love their products. We love their products. They're convenient. And that's Real Good Foods. Real Good Foods has chicken crust pizzas, cauliflower pizzas. They have these awesome enchiladas that the boys love. Good products, low carb, keto friendly. And if you see the comparison compared to actual other packaged foods, there's no comparison. So they have a store locator. They're available at places like Walmart and supermarkets. I've also seen them even at Vitamin Shoppe, which is pretty cool. And if you wanted to shop for them locally, you can look at the store locator online. But we have a code and it's FatFueledFam, and that'll give you $10 off your order. So if you're in a time pinch and you don't have time to cook yourself a nice home cooked meal, definitely look into Real Good Foods. They get the Fat Fueled Family seal of approval. And without any further ado, back to our show. I have a question, and I'm just really excited for you to mention this because I think we've been saying this and we've heard it from our friend Allie Miller, who's an RD. And can you talk a little bit about the possible impacts of non-caloric sweeteners on the buddies?
Oh yeah, they just
kill. That's a big one.
They wipe out the buddies. They are so terrible for the buddies. And you know, for a while we've kind of known like the artificial sweeteners have a really interesting impact on like weight gain because of how it messes with your appetite regulating hormones. It like kind of makes you more hungry.
Yes.
And some of that has to do with changes in the microbiome. So yes, they are, you know, I'm like, don't do those. They're on our little chart of like what helps the buddies, hurts the buddies, like how to take care of your buddies. You know, when we do artificial sweeteners, they kind of wreck your buddies. And again, you do it one time, it's not like they're gone forever. But if you're consuming them every day for years and years, that's going to have an impact that's negative.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because we have, you know, pretty much probably the majority of our audience is going to be a keto or a paleo type of person. And I think, yeah, paleo was, didn't go that route. But, you know, when we became keto, we lowered the carbs more, you know, that was the thing. It was like, hey, lower the carbs and look, your net carbs are low. And, you know, I've seen these studies too. I mean, just one, for instance, there was one on sucralose that I was writing about the other day, where it's just the acceptable used amount of sucralose can severely impact your buddies. I mean, and it's proven over and over and over. So it's one of the things that we're trying this year to get, you know, the keto audience to understand that, you know, it may be a little bit better to when you're doing a recipe to add maybe some grade B maple syrup where
filtered honey.
Yeah. So you may add like 1 to 2 grams of sugar per serving, but this is not something that, you know, you're going to be having a lot of, first of all. And second of all, it's not nearly, like you said, as hyper palatable as these non-caloric sweeteners. They're so sweet. They have
much better regulation of appetite since getting rid of
them. Yeah. Even our kids.
Because we had the kids on them, and when we removed the sweeteners, they became better eaters. They were way better at controlling their appetite. They weren't craving the sweets anymore. So Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of kiddos who are using artificial sweeteners actually have problems with bedwetting. So anybody listening, that's another really big thing just to like connect a couple dots and tune into.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good, really good point. So, three right. more.
We're on number three. Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about stress and we talked about food. Yeah.
Yes. Food. So what's super cool, just to tell you guys, cause I know this is a lot of families too, just back to the whole food diet is, you know, my daughter and I really try to integrate this into what we're doing. And this is my vision for our country and even globally of how we can do this. But we were, you know, scooting through the grocery store a couple weeks ago and she's, you know, looking at stuff on the shelf and she's like, "Mommy, that's good for the buddies." And then she's like, "Mommy, that's bad for the buddies."
Oh, that's great. Putting it into practice.
Germs. And, you know, it's just super cool of like, she's taking initiative. She gets it. You know, she gets it at a whole nother level. And she was telling me, she's in first grade now. She's like, "Mommy, I was talking to my friends at lunch. And, you know, I was telling her that her Cheetos that she was eating aren't good for the buddies. They'll feed the bad germs." And, you know, it's like, she's like, I don't want to have that kind of stuff. So it's, what's so neat is when you get to teach this to your children in a way that it sinks in and they yes. get it, they're self-motivated, right? And then it just becomes, it's not nagging. It's not hard. It's just, you get into this awesome rhythm as a family.
That's where we want things to be. We feel that way because yeah. the biggest thing for us is, number one, the first rule of communication is no one is going to desire information they didn't ask for. And yeah. so once the child, you know, has had those conversations and is interested, then, you know, it's up to them. You know, if we force them, the minute we leave, they're probably going to do something different because they're only doing it. So when they understand, you're so right. It has so much power.
And then, you know, I think there's a learning experience too. Like I'm a big proponent of this with my daughter. Like I don't, you know, she can go have sweets. She does. And when she does, we have a conversation about it. And sometimes she's like, "Mommy, I don't feel so good."
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, so that's a natural consequence, right, that you're feeling. So, you know, I'll ask her, like, "What do you think's happening right now?" She's like, "Well, I think I fed the bad germs and they're really beating up the buddies and I don't feel good." Because
so good. I love it.
She gets it, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
okay.
They get it.
Well, let's think about that next time you have a choice with your food. Let's make a choice that's going to help the buddies and help you feel really good. And she's like, "Yeah, I should do that." Like, then when they go to college, then when they're adults, you know, and they're living their life, guess what? There's intrinsic motivation there.
Of course.
You know, and so it's so cool. So, other things for the buddies as families, sleep. The buddies get tired and they need sleep too. Okay. Yes. We are a sleep deprived nation, you know, and it's really a problem. And there's been research that shows the more sleep we get, the better buddies we have. And that's independent of anything else, of diet, of anything. It's just really important. And quality of sleep is big too. So I know, you know, we have a lot of screen time in our country now with technology. We really need to get our kids off screens, especially before bed. It is yes. so important because their brains get so fired up and then they try to like go into this calm state with their brain and it doesn't work well.
And the blue light, doesn't the blue light blunt yeah. the release of melatonin, which kicks off the whole thing, right?
Yeah. And melatonin is that little chemical messenger that says, "Hey, it's time to sleep, brain, it's time to repair." And, you know, when kids are growing and their brains are growing and they're learning, they need that sleep for their brain to organize everything that happened for the day, for their brain to like prepare for all the growth that's happening, whether it's physical growth, mental growth, emotional growth. It is so crucial. And, you know, going back to the buddies, another thing that the buddies do is they actually help with sleep. So Biffy, who's probably my favorite buddy.
Wait, is Biffy the one with the cape?
Yeah. Oh, that's Basili. Basili has the cape.
Basili. That's the one that my sons always fight over, by the way.
Yeah, that's so cute. So Biffy is the poop buddy. You know, he helps us make the perfect poop. But Biffy also makes GABA. And GABA is a neurotransmitter that's really important for us to have that like restorative, restful relaxation side that in our modern world, it's kind of like we just hit the gas pedal all the time, which is glutamate.
Yes.
And we don't have a lot of GABA, which is the brake. And so, you know, that's one of the things I formulated because it's such a need is we have a probiotic called Be Calm. And it's
I've been taking that one. Yep.
Yeah. And it's specifically a different buddies that have been shown to be GABA producers. So we can really bump up that calming side by impacting our buddies, which is super cool. So we have a little resource called Change Your Habit, Change Your Buddies. And there's a whole section there on sleep, like things that you can do for you and your kids that are really important, that, you know, as a free resource we have on our website. And, you know, I can give you guys links to that too.
Yes, please do, because that's, we've been talking about that sleep, and we've been talking about it even in the sense of with fat burning, you know, and, yes. And stress the same, you know, the way that stress can sterilize your gut biome and then you can't burn fat as well. So no, the sleep thing is huge. We're totally with you on the screen time thing. It's one of those things where my son has a Minecraft class that he goes to, and the kid next to him, when I picked him up yesterday, he said, you know, he can play with us at home. All he needs to do is sign into Xbox. It's free. And I said, yeah, but you have to get the Xbox, and that's not a door I'm going to open. I'm not going to get an Xbox for my child, because
good for you, dad.
No way. No, we're not going to do it. And you know,
earn the money for a $300
Xbox if he wants to, but you know, that that's because we still, we want to give them autonomy, but we, you know what, Sarah, we used to be different because we were, our biggest thing is autonomy with kids. But when we learned about not only the addictive quality of the screens and the way they're just like you said, it's got the beauty.
Yeah. They just activate those pleasure centers all day.
It's yeah.
It's an addictive. It works the same way.
We basically, we lowered the screen time so much. And then we had a friend of ours who's an occupational therapist who has kids go on 2-week screen detoxes. And these kids are coming in with like nervous twitches. And after 2 weeks of getting off the screens, like you said, the GABA production is probably back to normal, and they're just normal kids, and they're fine, and they're not in this sympathetic state for, you know, their whole lives.
Yeah, their brains are like lit on fire.
Yeah.
They can actually calm down, which is so important. So yeah, sleep is huge. And, you know, like kids, I mean, at bedtime, you know, especially as they get older and they're kind of like, they want to delay and they get smart with manipulating that, you know, it's one of those, like, it's so important to keep them in rhythm because it helps them with every other aspect of their life. And even like how they're going to eat and the foods they're going to want to eat. If they sleep well, they're going to be more in tune with their body and what they need. Because if kids are sleep deprived, guess what they're going to crave? Sugar, simple carbs, things that are going to kind of give them these little boosts to make it throughout their day. And we don't want that. So last one is water. You know, in the book, we talk about feeding the buddies, but we also talk about how, you know, the buddies get thirsty, just like we get thirsty. And, you know, we want to do about half of our body weight in ounces in terms of intake. And, you know, not only the amount of water, but your quality of water. I can't stress this enough, is so important because there's a lot of stuff in our water now that hurts the buddies. You know, chlorine is just one of them. You can go to EWG.org. It's a great website to see water quality in your area where it's sourced from. And if you've got a lot of contaminants in your water, I really, really recommend purifying your water so you and your family get, you know, great water without the other, you know, yucky stuff in there that are going to hurt your buddies and do other things to your body that aren't great.
Yeah, we are huge believers in that. We have a Berkey filter, you know, the carbon activated charcoal. So it does help with everything you talked about, as well as, you know, the other possible, you know, xenoestrogens that are still in the water that some of these other ones don't get rid of. So that's huge.
Yeah,
it is. It really is. And it's like one thing families can do. If you're listening to this and it's like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. One, it doesn't have to be. Okay. But, you know, start with your water and start with your food and get good sleep, right? Like those are some of the
top three
foundational things that you will move the needle so far with your family's health. If you're working on those things, it's like, get outside, get some sun, laugh, you know, eat good food together, like drink clean water, rest well at night, you know, breathe deeply. Like play in the dirt, right? Like those are things, it's like, that's not that hard to do. It might take a little shifting of your mindset of like how you, the pattern you're in, right? As a family, but every family in America can do that.
100%. And you know, it's funny because our neighborhood is, we're really grateful to live in a neighborhood that kind of gets it, because we go outside and we go for walks at night, and this place is lit up at night. You see people outside.
The kids are out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important because like you don't see that anymore. It's kind of like you said,
kid go outside, but not if he's the only one out there.
Yeah. But then also she talks about how you have to kind of adjust what you're doing, your habits, you know, and people are locked into that. Wake up, go to work, have your coffee, come home, eat dinner, sit down in front of the TV.
And then they don't realize that they haven't seen the sun all day.
Yeah.
And it really does make you happier. My kids, when they're fighting inside the house, I send them outside and all of a sudden they're happy, you know, and they don't even fight it, you know, or if I see that they're, you know, watching a little too much YouTube.
Or asking to put on a movie or something.
I'm like, hey, you know, it's such a nice day outside. You guys should go ride your bikes. And they usually don't even fight it. They want to. It's like, oh yeah, didn't think of that. And then they go and it's just like, you know, they get that good juju flowing.
It is. It's so important. And you know, like that, we have backyard chickens, and my daughter, it's like her thing. I know it's, you know, when she kind of needs to like decompress a little, she's like, mommy, can we go out and hang out with the chickens? And I'm like,
that's awesome.
I love it too, because they're just present right in the moment. And she climbs her apple tree and just kind of, you know, like does her own thing and plays with the chickens. Now she has a bunny too. It's like, we are already turning into a farm, even though we don't have one yet. That she brings out there. And I mean, it's all of that stuff is so important for, you know, their development. So good.
Wait, before you ask the next question, I want to ask, because Maura loves silkies. Do you have silkies?
Oh, I love silkies.
We don't, because they're, you know, here in Colorado, they don't do as well in the cold.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would love to have some if we had more of like a really warm setting for them. But
no wonder, because we live in Florida. So we
see a lot of them down here. That's probably why.
Yeah, that'd be a great spot for them. We have ones that are like really set up well to, you know, handle the cold well.
Nice. Gotcha. Yeah, that's fun. Awesome. Well, all right. So I wanted to just ask your opinion on this quickly, because, you know, there's so much information out there and so many people posting studies, and it gets so confusing for a lot of people. And we get messages all the time. So when it comes to the probiotics, there was these two studies. And so let me explain them for our audience. In the first study, the subjects were divided into two groups, and one was provided a placebo while the other provided a strain of probiotics. What they found was that some of the subjects were able to host the bacteria while the remainder simply expelled the bacteria out. So they were saying the benefits obtained from the probiotics may be subject dependent. In the second study, the scientists tested the impact of probiotics and fecal transplant after a round of antibiotic treatment, and it turned out that the bacteria from the probiotics impeded the growth of the native bacteria in the subject for many months. So what are your thoughts on this? I know that, you know, the quality of the probiotics has a lot to do with stuff. Can you maybe enlighten our listeners if they come across things like this?
Yeah, such a good, two good questions. So the first one about differences with the host, you know, like if the probiotic stayed or not. Let's start there. So, you know, the first thing that is really important, we talked a little bit about the immune system and how there's such an interaction with, you know, our probiotic buddies and our immune system. And that's where I think we see a lot of these differences with how different probiotics are tolerated by the human host. If it's like, yeah, I want these buddies, or no, I don't. Or if there's already alterations to the immune system, that individual's immune system, you're going to see changes with how they handle a probiotic that they take. Okay. And, you know, so that's one of the things. Another thing I'll just say, growing a little bit broader, is the probiotic world is very unregulated. And, you know, I learned this personally when I was going through and really spent about a year researching and formulating our Buddies in My Belly probiotics. So you, when you just, you know, we talk about this term probiotics, which means the, these live bacteria that you can either take in a supplement or, you know, certain foods also have these live bacteria. A prebiotic would be the fiber. You know, we've used that term. We've mentioned it in this episode. And then postbiotics would be different things that the bacteria are making. And so the good bacteria make all these different substances that are really good for us. So we talked about, you know, B vitamins. Another one is butyric acid. So if we feed our buddies like good fiber, they make butyric acid. And this substance, it's a short chain fatty acid, protects our colon cells from colon cancer. There's really good research about that. And then we have the antibiotics, which we mentioned too, which just kind of wipe out, you know, bacteria from the human body. So if you guys want, I could go through, you know, five things you really want to look for if you're going to get a probiotic.
Yes, that was one of our questions. So
okay, cool. So just really quick, I want to speak to the other study before I go into those five things. So the other one is a really interesting study. It's brand new that was just released, and it's kind of blowing up the clinical and research world of like, oh my gosh, people go on antibiotics, and then if they take a probiotic, it might actually inhibit the buddies from kind of reestablishing themselves. One of the things that's really interesting is, you know, the appendix. You guys know that, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So the appendix is the place the buddies go hide when there's a hurricane. And the hurricane, it's like their storm shelter. A hurricane can be like you get, you know, a GI bug and you have horrible, you know, inflammation, diarrhea. That also wipes out a lot of your buddies, right? Yeah. So does an antibiotic. So the appendix is a place where some of these probiotic buddies hide and then they come back out and repopulate after the storm has passed. Okay. So one of the things I would say is like, there's a lot of confounders in these studies. One of them is like, hey, were they studying people that had appendixes or not? Like,
that's, you know, a good one. Yeah.
Just, you know, one of the many things, did these people have altered immune systems? Did any of them have autoimmunity? You know, did they have something kind of already set up in their gut? Like, did they have inflammatory bowel disease? A lot of times those things are kind of taken out of the studies as exclusions, you know, where they can't be in the study.
And they didn't control for that, or it's possible that they didn't control for that.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, what probiotics were they taking, right? Were they the right fit after, you know, you are on an antibiotic? And then the other question is, what kind of antibiotic were they on? Right. So there's, you know, the reality when we're talking about this subject is we're very new to understanding what's happening with the microbiome. I mean, think about, like, we went back to 20th century, right? We didn't even know we had a microbiome.
Right. Yeah.
And now we do. And now we're trying to figure out, like, how do we modulate or modify it in a way that's going to impact our human health positively. And that's still kind of up for grabs in terms of the best ways for us to do it. And I think what we're going to see is as we go, we're going to realize it's more and more individualized to the person. And I think we're going to see prebiotics, these different types of fibers, and postbiotics, you know, what these bacteria make, be really, really important for how we really change the buddies in our belly.
That makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, I think it goes back to, again, the importance of prebiotics, right? Because if your buddies are down in number, you need to have enough of those, of that prebiotic production. Like you said, the butyrate from like the resistant starches or the soluble fibers to allow our buddies to eat something.
Yeah. And then our immune system, right? Like, I just going back to, there is such a significant aspect of setting up a child, an infant and a child with a healthy microbiome. So their immune system is balanced. So they tolerate these good bacteria, right? It's like the immune system says, hey, you actually are our buddies. So we're going to let you live here. We're going to let you do all these really cool things for us. Yeah. That's- so Good stuff. So do you want to go over the five things to look for?
Yes. Because I think, you know, that's something that people are going to definitely be hopefully into after listening to this episode.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to be asking us, well, which one do you recommend? You know, and we like to let them know what to look for. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's like, this is the first thing. Cause you go into a health food store, you go on Amazon, you go into a grocery store and it's like, you're a deer in headlights. Like,
yep.
So overwhelming. Yeah. It's like, what do I do? I have no idea. And it's overwhelming. So first thing is, the name designation. Okay. So you want to get a probiotic that is strain specific. So I want to explain that. So when you, look at a probiotic, you flip it over, you look at the supplement facts, there's a couple different names of the bacteria. So I'm going to use Lactobacillus acidophilus as an example. Yeah. Exactly. So the first name, Lactobacillus, is the genus. Okay. And the second name, Acidophilus, is the species. All probiotics are going to have those two listed on there because I think it's a requirement. This is where a lot of probiotics stop, but the third part is the most important, and that's the strain. Okay. So that's the third part. So a good probiotic that you want to pick out is going to have like Lactobacillus, Acidophilus, and then some type of like letter number that's indicating the strain that they're using in that probiotic. Why is that important? Probiotics are strain specific in terms of their action. So you could have the same Lactobacillus, Acidophilus over here on the right and the left, but they're different strains. One of them helps with, anti-inflammatory actions in the gut, and the other one doesn't do anything for the human host. So unless you know which strain you're taking, it you're kind of just shooting in the dark of like, well, I hope this is good. This is also why I think we see people take a probiotic and some people are like, oh, that was amazing and helped me. And then other people are like, I didn't really feel any difference with that because it's very unregulated and we don't know what we're getting.
Gotcha.
Strain is really, really important. And that's kind of a new thing in the field that everybody's starting to learn about and identify. And, you know, as a gene queen, I will say, the buddies have genes too. And strain to strain, their genes can vary by up to 25%. And that's where a lot of these actions, you know, the beneficial actions to us as a human come from. So strain is really important. Okay, so that's number one. And that kind of eliminates like 75% of the probiotics. The second one I would say that we want to look for is something that has been clinically studied. These strains have been studied. And that's the nice thing about when you identify a strain, typically there's some clinical research behind them. So, you know, just an example of this, like that was really important for me when I was formulating are probiotics for children, that not only were they studied on humans, but they're studied in kids because kids' immune systems are different. Their microbiomes are developing. So our probiotics, you know, have been through some really interesting clinical studies that have shown not only the helping reduce, but the prevention of atopic dermatitis, which is that inflammatory skin stuff that we see with a lot of younger children. And also the reduction of upper respiratory illness and the amount of days that kids are sick. So really cool things that, you know, again, you want to try to find probiotics that have some, you know, clinical backing to them, which is important.
You're saying that if they are kind of numbered, chances are that it's numbered because there has been some research.
Yes, because they're identifying the strain, and a lot of times when they're identifying the strain, they're studying it for the benefits to us as humans. So we tend to find a lot more studies just when we look for strain-specific probiotics.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, good question. Number three is dose, and this is a big one, and my big point here is more is not always better.
Wow.
Interesting. That's what everybody, right? That's what everybody does. It's like, I want 5,000 billion trillion.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so I have to make a reference to Stranger Things, the show.
Oh, great show.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the buddies can turn into these demigorgon monsters. take too many or like, you know, feed them too much. There is a balance there. And bacteria are competitive too. Like that's really important to know when we're thinking about taking these different probiotics. So colony forming units is what that CFU on the back of a probiotic label stands for. And typically it's measured in billions. So for example, like 10 billion CFU is something that you would see on the back of a label. Now, too high of a dose of probiotics can lead to this overgrowth of even honestly the friendliest bacteria. And it's really interesting where I've actually seen this, you know, I've worked in clinical practice for 13 years. Where I'll have people come in, they're like, yeah, I've been taking this one probiotic for 8 years and it's like 100 billion CFU. And they're like, I have all this going on. And I said, okay, so the first thing we're going to do is take you off of that. Literally nothing else. We work on their diet. You know, we get them sleeping right. well, drinking good water, all the, you know, movement. And they'll come back. They're like, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. It's like, yeah, because the monsters have transformed back into buddies. You know, like,
I mean, where they need a food supply. So is it that they're taking resources from somewhere else or?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, like it's just this idea that just because something is good, it doesn't mean more of it is better. And so, yeah, I think there's a little bit of that, but it's again, you're just throwing in like huge, huge amounts of bacteria every single day. And I think that can kind of backfire on us.
Gotcha.
So, you know, for general health and maintenance, I really think probiotics, if you're taking a supplement, should fall in the range of fermented foods. You know, they have been around forever, right? And that's also another good place to get probiotics is fermented foods. And you can make them in your own kitchen and they're cheap. But somewhere between 3 to 15 billion CFUs, I think is a really great place to land for health and maintenance. Now, you can use higher dose probiotics, like maybe sometimes in certain medical conditions, if you're really trying to target something, or, you know, after courses of antibiotics. And there are some companies that have done research as well to show it is beneficial at reestablishing the microbiome after antibiotics. So again, it's like the jury's out.
It's that's the thing. We haven't talked about it much on this podcast, but for anyone who doesn't really understand the way science is, the whole community doesn't flip itself upside down when one single study disagrees with other ones. It's always about the body of evidence.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's like science is never settled, right? We're always learning and we always just want to take like each study, each thing that comes out is like, huh, that's interesting. And then you kind of want to break it down a little bit. And that's where like not every study is designed really well. And
yeah.
your conclusions are like, I don't know about that. But so number four is prebiotics. Okay. And these are food for the buddies. And, you know, this is really, a lot of them are like types of carbohydrates, how they'd be classified that humans can't digest, but the buddies can. And, you know, that can come from all these different plant sources that we've talked about. And really, I would say the most, the best evidence in our research, what we look at of how we actually change our buddies long term and keep them there is with prebiotics, not probiotics. And, you know, so that's really interesting to me. Again, why food first always? You will never change your microbiome long term just swallowing a pill. You've got to work on what you're putting in your mouth with your food. And then, you know, I like to say, like, it's nice to have some prebiotic with your probiotic because, you know, it's nice food for the buddies on their journey to your belly. And it just kind of encourages that first growth and colonization when you're taking these probiotics.
That's fantastic. So you have, there's one more, right?
There's one more. Yeah, stability and strength. So again, this is where, you know, it actually goes into the strain, some of the information on this, but a lot of the probiotics on the market, the buddies are dead on arrival. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So they never really make it to your belly alive. Now there's some research that shows even like dead probiotic material can positively impact the immune system. So I don't want to totally knock that, but I do think it's better when you have a probiotic that's shelf stable, right? Where, you know, now we don't always have to have it refrigerated because we've isolated strains that are do really well at room temperature. Food stable, right? So you can mix it with other things. You don't have to eat it on empty stomach. You can actually eat it with your meals. And then we want buddies that are resistant to stomach acid and bile acids, you know, where it's like they're the little soldiers that can make it through, you know, the tough points of the, you know, the fight and make it all the way down into the digestive tract. And then we just, you know, we want them free of the garbage because there's some really good probiotic strains on the market that have like all this crap added to them. And it makes me so angry because they're in a lot of big box and it's like, this buddy is really good. Like it's really, really good. It has a lot of really good clinical research behind it. But then why did they add all these other things that are not good for us and the, even the buddies that you're swallowing?
What would those be? Would it be, would it be, you know, some sort of binding agent or what is it that they're...
Yeah, so there's binding agents. Like I've even seen like dairy, like actual dairy, like powdered milk added to some of these, wow. Like the filler. And then a lot of different additives that are, you know, just not great for us and they can cause GI distress, you know, even the dyes, like some of the companies are using food dyes that they're adding in these probiotics to make it like a pretty color. It's like,
oh, wow.
That's just the food dyes alone are just going to kill a bunch of the buddies you're swallowing.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to find something that has some type of guaranteed potency to it as well. And this is typically like an expiration date. Or they're kind of guaranteeing a certain amount of CFUs by the time you consume them. And most good companies are going to give you access to that information either on the bottle, on their website, you know, in some of their literature they have.
Wow, that's so awesome. Well, obviously, if you listed these five, you've probably considered it. So, your product would be good. And I even saw, I think one of them had cellulase, right?
Yeah.
That was interesting because, I mean, every pill that you take has cellulose in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is, you know, it's just a plant. A lot of times, depending on what they're using the material, even like the capsule is just, it's something that it's a plant product that's just broken down, right?
Like but if we don't really have that much cellulase, so it's kind of cool to get some extra to help us with that. We don't really produce cellulase, right?
No, we don't. And then cellulose, you know, cellulase would be the enzyme that breaks down cellulose. And that's just something that like you get when you eat vegetables. Gotcha. And cellulose, you'll see that as like a lot of times they'll use that as the, you know, like a vegan approved veggie capsule. That's just, you know, broken down. Even if you mix it in water, it starts to break down really quickly, which is nice.
Gotcha. Well, there has been a ton of information. You've spoken about some of your resources. Now, since we're kind of short on time, I would love to know if you have all those resources in one place. Is it a section on your website? Where can people go to find these resources that we've spoken about?
Yeah. So buddiesinmybelly.com, we actually have a resources page. Awesome. And there's a bunch of these resources on there. And then we have like a buddy's food plate and all kinds of things to just help with integration with your family. We also have a buddy's e-cookbook, just to throw it out there too. It's simple recipes for your complex life.
Nice.
I'm a pragmatic person. You know, it's like we're all busy, right? So putting good food on the table sometimes is challenging. So it's a little bit bigger file to like download it. So if you just want to email us at info@buddiesinmybelly.com, we'll send you a copy of that for free.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So can you tell us about what you're working on next with buddies? Cause we know you've got your book and our plushies. And
you told me something about some sort of cartoon or something.
So we are working on Buddies in My Belly episodes, and they're actually little episodes with our plushies. And we wanted to do that because it's like something that kids really, it's like, oh, I can go do that with my buddies and like play with them. And they, you know, do all these cool things with me in my life. And so we're developing that. Then we'll move to full animation. My goal is that eventually this is a TV show. So if you're listening and this sounds awesome, tell Netflix.
Yes.
Because we are on our journey to get there. So it will be a process, but I want that. We'll also develop other things like buddies, you know, In My Belly is our first line, but we'll have other stuff that educates about other important aspects of health under our buddies brand in general. So that will just always be growing to be the Sesame Street of health. And I also want a place where our brand physically exists that people can visit and then also tune in on the internet. So the Buddy's Farm is something that I will make happen in the future. And I want it to be a place where kids get to, you know, experience the animals, they get to plant some things in the soil, then they get to move to a place where they're harvesting things, then they move to our commercial kitchen that's going to be designed for children, where they get to do age-appropriate recipes. Yes, I want to teach them knife skills because kids don't know how to
use them. Oh my goodness, we're huge on that too. Our kids, yes. People are always asking our kids, is it okay for them to use a knife? And we agree. That was something that we taught our boys early.
Yeah, it's all so about important. You know, it's like, let them be confident with it and they've got to learn at some point. So obviously like age appropriate when that's ready, but then we teach them about like, hey, this is what carrots have. This is what this has. And now we're going to make something with it and we're going to taste it and it's awesome and good. And we'll go grab some eggs from the chickens and we'll add it into our omelet that we're making today, you know, and
that is so awesome.
Give them all of that. And I'd love to have a little thing that is a section, almost like a cross section of our soil that has worms and everything in it. So they can see that this is how we have healthy soil where our food grows and the buddies are, you know, in our soil as well, where they can visualize that. And then all the way up to teaching them to make good choices that impact our environment as they get older, you know, like teenagers and beyond. So I've got it all planned out in my head. It's just, we're going to, you know, take it one step at a time in terms of implementation.
Well, I'll tell you this, anything that we can do to help you and to pass the message on, please let us know. Cause we think that this is so unique and so helpful. And we'd love to help you.
Oh, thank you. I will take you up on that as we get into more and more stages of what we're doing. We'll definitely stay in contact. So thank you.
All right. So you've given us so much already, but I am kind of aware of some sort of free, what is it that you have for free that you can offer our listeners? I saw that somewhere, so I wanted to ask.
Yeah. So we have the cookbook and it's actually divided out. We've even made it into like meal plans for your week and then shopping lists. So it's like literally ready to go. So the Buddies in My Belly Eat cookbook. And then I will make sure your group is one of the first to have access to our Buddies episodes once they're available. I got
so cool.
A little bit of a sneak peek of Lacti's episode and we are working on the music right now, but it is so cute.
I can't wait. That's awesome.
We're excited for that. Well, last thing before we let you go, I wanted to give you an opportunity to share kind of where people can find you. I think it's pretty obvious you have some really easy to, you know, to find names, but just where can people find you?
Yeah, they can find us on buddiesinmybelly.com. And then we are on Facebook and Instagram. So help us build that. We just kind of got on there. We're a brand new company. So definitely follow us there. Those will be kind of the first places we share, you know, the newest projects and things that we're working on.
Sarah, thank you so much. We had such an awesome time. We learned so much and we hope a lot of people take advantage. We hope they buy your book. We recommend it. We sent one as a gift to one of our RD friends and are hoping as soon as she gets it, she can share it too, because we just really want to just spread the message for you.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks so much. I appreciate you guys. When we band together, we can really help change childhood in America and beyond.
Amen to that. Well, have an awesome day.
You too.